of what you call the very best presidents are some of the ones that have the least notoriety. Before Woodrow Wilson, there was no such thing as a population of millionaires. He came into the place to say it's okay to be a millionaire. There wasn't no such a thing as millionaires back before him.
What did he implement to make it acceptable?
That there was abundance. And that the best thing that could happen to the United States of America, the best thing in the world to do is to have everybody be a millionaire. Everybody's a millionaire and nobody has a problem paying taxes. Well, if nobody has a problem paying taxes, then infrastructure can be built.
So Woodrow Wilson opened it up somehow.
He did. But you look at your recording, you go to his library and he doesn't have much to say about it.
And you're considering him one of the more bland presidents.
No, we're saying that you see him as one of the more bland presidents. Everything goes back to Abraham Lincoln, that he was the apostle by which all presidents should be judged, and all he did was take things back to the lowest common denominator of saying, get over yourself and let's get on with this thing called living.
And that didn't work.
Well, it's worked great so far. It made the $5 bill, so I guess it's good for something.
But you're saying he's known as the ultimate, and yet are you implying Woodrow Wilson did more?
Indeed.
Who's another bland-imaged president that did stuff like Woodrow Wilson?
McKinley.
And who killed McKinley? Who set that up?
He did.
All right, he set it up. Who made it possible so he could get what he wanted?
The assistant to his chief of staff.
And what did the assistant know to make him vibrate with McKinley's wants?
The dynamic of the rise and fall of his power. The assistant knew that, and that's what helped facilitate the demise.
So he was on his decline, the president.
Well, your history records it. How does it go, Bob?
There is different literature on it, and one of them says that the British, the Queen, the royal family, the oligarchs were upset with what McKinley was doing on a national level, but it doesn't sound like that's actually what happened.
No.
It was more local.
Of course. It always is. See, these problems and these issues and these things have to get in your bed. Well, it's not in the Queen's bed. It's in your bed. Now, can you push against or vice versa to make it an issue? Certainly. But it's what's the motivation.
So the rise and fall of his power, what was that the assistant was noticing?
The flow that everything was becoming this vast fullness of dynamic. You got to realize the big thing in those days was, are we going to put everybody on a grid? Okay, and if we put them on a grid, is it going to be an AC or a DC grid? Okay, who's going to pay for all this? Okay, then there's this little thing called a telephone. And now you can talk through a string and a can and find out what's going on everywhere. Then you have the world that's coming into the Iron Age. You're starting in having these iron horses that are ride you around in a horseless carriage. But it's built in combustion engines that provide horsepower. Very interesting. Then you got to have this infrastructure of, okay, we've got these iron horses. They're great. Now, how are we going to build roads? And then he looked at history and go, wait a minute, the Roman Empire did that road business, and it didn't serve them very well either. They built the roads, but they couldn't maintain them. We need some slaves. Oh, wait, we got over that. Wait a minute. You see? So it's just the twists and turns of what you call cabinet work.
Cabinet work as a carpenter or cabinet in the Washington?
Well, we're talking about the executive branch, so
cabinet
you
work.
Draw your own conclusion. Well, now, let's think about this now. You brought it up. A cabinet man, a carpenter, oh wait, that's like Jesus.
Mm.
Okay, easy. What does a cabinet man do? He creates vessels in order to store items in a secure and organized format. And then the detail or the finish work is how these cabinets are decorated. Do they have glass doors? Do they have doors at all? Are they just shells? Is this compartmentalized when you open them up? Does it have things for everything to fit where it's supposed to be? Is it a storage ability to amass larger amounts of things? So now your cabinet, whether you're creating the cabinet or whether you are embracing the cabinet, what it does is it organizes your flow of thought. That's what a good president's cabinet would do. And when you think about it that way, you are exactly perfectly correct to ask, is this a cabinet maker, or is this as the executive branch has a cabinet of 15? And we say they are about the same if you look at their definition.
It's interesting, you're bringing up the technologies of the day, which is the way I think, and the pressures that put on the executive, so that there was this abundance happening, but it caused a lot of anxiety or concern, and it was too much for McKinley, and the assistant saw that.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. So did the assistant arrange the people to kill him?
Indirectly.
What part is direct?
Well, you're not going to get that.
Why wouldn't I get that? That's a long time ago.
Well, then you should be able to look at your history and see what it says. Because then we'd have to push against the very fall of the Roman Empire, because that's where you're going next. And when you start from that side, it's a reference point that you can't get there.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I was talking about the fall of the Roman Empire, just to talk about the stresses on his life where he wanted to do suicide himself, and an assistant picked up on it. And I was wondering how he found someone to do it.
Through the cabinet.
Who succeeded? Roosevelt?
Who succeeded? Roosevelt? End of story. Now you know why you don't talk about it. He's saying that this guy, America had the image of the Roman Empire, and telephone, the automobile, the electric power that Morgan was setting up with Edison after they took it away from Tesla, and all that other technology right at the beginning of the 20th century, that's the real global village coming in that's going to stop the visual space drive of nation building. And this affected deeply McKinley. He got depressed. That's McLuhan 101 there.
Yeah, he didn't want to deal with the headaches of the changing environment, having to manage
it. So what he had to do, they had to bring in the income tax and the Federal Reserve. They said, where are we going to get the money to build this automobile infrastructure? That's the beginning point of the downfall of America, the pastoral image of America, the wonderful place, you know, the shining city on the hill. This is the end. It's over. And that's when the international oligarchy can control the Federal Reserve and oppress the citizens through income tax and all that. This is all brought about by those technologies, that mix. We got into McKinley because we're talking about Woodrow Wilson, the concept of millionaires. Then Ion then shifts into pointing out that what people think is an important president, like Abraham Lincoln, is not. Woodrow Wilson was way more valuable. He's 1917. He's the one who went to Paris and held America back from joining the League of Nations and eventually capitulated to the joining the League of Nations, I think. And that caused maybe they didn't. I can't remember if Wilson resolved it or not. But that's a big, big issue, as well as the Federal Reserve coming in. You know, the international forces to control Woodrow Wilson. The point is, you have the photograph, magazines, and movies. So who's the big millionaire? It's Rockefeller. And Rockefeller had to deal with this new image of himself, so he had to go around giving pennies to kids just to pretend he was human. And it looked like he's an unfortunate, evil guy, but Ion's saying, and Ion always has a new take, the larger thing is to appreciate the abundance, that the idea that you could have $1 million in this little dinky country, that was a revolutionary idea for people. So, yeah, he went into the millionaire meme. Wilson created that, and that was way more important than freeing the slaves, even though the phrase of Lincoln putting everything back to the common denominator, I'm not sure what that refers to. He said, let's get over it and get on with living. I think he meant get over these stupid prejudices and suppressing the blacks or whatever, something like that. But the is Woodrow Wilson, and then we veered into McKinley, because I want to know who's another bland guy. You see how I accidentally stumble into this breakthrough? Okay, oh, who's another bland guy? I don't know what he's going to say. Then he says McKinley. First thing that comes to mind when you talk about McKinley is he was assassinated. And who succeeded him? Theodore Roosevelt.
Uh-huh.
And look at what Ian says to me. Listen, I said, well, why don't you tell me? That's a long time ago. He says, well, go back to your history and see what happened. And this is before he tells me. Then he tells me that the Roosevelts are a major archetype. Teddy is in 1901. He succeeds McKinley. And then his cousin becomes president in 1933. And that's the beginning of the welfare state. Roosevelt brings in it heavy. And I go on. I don't play it. But I go on discussing the guilt of Franklin Roosevelt. See, he was considered a guy who turned against his class. He turned against the oligarchy of America and, you know, saved the working man with the welfare state. So in retrospect now, people don't think that was a good thing, but he was considered a fantastic president back at the time. He's an icon. And why did he get paralysis, polio? Why was he depressed? You know, why?